Hey y'all, this is a special audio only episode. We were guests on Boss Babe's Healing Podcast. It was a most interesting conversation, and we would love for you all to experience it with us.
Also, before we get started, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. We love positive reviews, and they help others find us.
Welcome, ladies. How are you today? I have my special guest here from What's Been Better, Miss Sylvia and Miss Lori. How are you?
Hello.
We're good.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Let's take a little piece from What's Been Better today. What's Been Better?
Okay. Use our stuff against us.
Okay. All right.
No.
Right. Yeah. What's been better? Letting go and shedding a few people, places, and things for me has been better. It's been freeing. It's been space opening. It's been another step in me curating and manifesting the life that I want.
I love that.
Yay!
I love that. And you, Miss Lori?
Celebration comes up for me. I've been able to celebrate with some family. My sister-in-law's family came in town, and it was just so cool to introduce my husband to my family on that side, in a sense, and just recognize that they are family too. Even though it's my sister-in-law's family, I embraced her as family, so her family is my family. So it was beautiful to have that experience and just recognize that, you know, family is not just blood, you know, it's people who come together with a common understanding of things. So that was good.
I love that.
That was cool. That.
Family is what it looks like to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
So let's dive right in. We are talking about being overlooked and being underappreciated and how leaders are misusing their power. And that goes across the board. You could tap into that in business. You could tap into that with relationships, with religion. It's really all across the board. And so today we want to speak to the audience who may be going to that, who doesn't know what that looks like exactly, how that feels, or how to even express yourself. How do you show up and defend yourself in these situations? And so we are all speaking from a place of experience. We're not coming from a professional place. This is experience, things that we have gone through, things that have worked for us, how we have healed and moved on from those spaces. And so I'd like to jump into how that feels. Miss Lori, how, in whatever situation or however you've gone through that yourself, how does that feel, you know?
Well,
explaining that to the audience.
So I think when I think about narcissism, is such a broad term for, to me, a lot of characteristics that show up in people. And the first time I experienced narcissism, I didn't even know what the word was. And that was of late, like in the last 5, maybe 7 years, right? Because that term wasn't used as much as it's used now.
Right.
But the people were still the people, and they did the same things. Mm-hmm. So I dated this guy who was a narcissist. But again, I didn't know. I just know he was very demeaning, right? He, in a sense, he somewhat put himself down sometimes, but mainly he put me down. And he tried to make himself seem like he was better. Like there was this air of, I am better. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course that didn't feel good. And so after a while of me saying some of the things that I said, like, hey, you know, to basically treat me better, or have you noticed how you talk to me, things like that, because it just kind of went on deaf ears. So I had to decide within myself, Lori, what are you going to put up with?
Wow.
So right. I had to be me who made the decision, because what I understood is people are going to do what you allow. And so when I stopped allowing the mistreatment, he disappeared, blocked me, all of that. And it was cool because by that time I was ready for that as well. So it worked out. But it was a good experience to know what not to do in the future.
I love that. Yeah. So you showed up for yourself. You stuck up for you. You knew that no one else might show up for me in this situation. It's good that you brought it to him like you were having a conversation. You didn't try to be above him or below him. You, as his equal, mm-hmm. you said, you know, how does that... how do you think about the way you talk about me or how you're treating me? Or I love that. So the person who's listening, that's a perfect example of how you could go to your mate or your pastor or your boss and have a, you know, one-on-one conversation on the same level. What do you think about how you are speaking to me or how you're treating me? You know, mm-hmm. I love that for everyone.
And I'm gonna jump in here and also say too, take note of what is being said back to you. Like if they said, well, I didn't do that, or I'm sorry if you took it that way, mm-hmm. all of that is dismissive, right? Yes. Or if you weren't this way, I wouldn't have done this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's be careful when you share, because you're vulnerable, you're sharing how you feel, you're asking them to notice you, to recognize what they're doing. Understand that they might not give you that reception that you want, or that affirmation that you want, or that validation that you're looking for.
Right. Because mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they're probably not ready. If they're the ones who are continuously with this type of behavior, they're okay with where they're at. It's, you know, you're addressing them that I'm not okay with this anymore. So it's a good thing to take in mind that you're ready, but they may not be ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. So let's park right there for a second and let's give the actual meaning of narcissism. I believe you had looked it up, Miss Lori.
Can yes. you give us that? I sure will. So on one, let me just go back to it. Okay, so on one dictionary, I think it's dictionary.com, it says, a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves. And I just don't think it gives that,
No.
That's just yeah.
that's,
not enough.
That's why I'm thinking that word is not the right word. I think that word has been co-opted. I think that word has been overused. I think there are other ways to describe these types of people.
Right. Yes.
Like for me, megalomania makes sense. For mm-hmm. me, having abusive tendencies makes sense. For me, it's like sociopathic, like not extreme sociopaths, but like people who are like borderline personalities or things like that. Because
yes.
if you think about, here, I'll read you what the definition of megalomania is. The obsession with the exercise of power, especially in domination of others.
That
makes yeah. more sense to me than narcissism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you're just delusional and you feel like I have to have power, I have to be in control, I have to be the leader, I have to be these things.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how some of these in relationships that we're seeing, men who are coming from a place of lack are mm-hmm. trying to be the head of their family or in control, or mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out a popular term here. You got Keke Palmer going through what she's going through
right.
with a man who's a stay-at-home dad or whatever he does, telling her how she can and cannot dress.
Right.
That backfired very nicely.
Oh.
Because you're coming from yeah. a place of not having any footing, mm-hmm. trying to be the traditionalist or the one that's leading your family when you never had it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. that situation, I think that he masked that. Just like you were saying, they masked things, Miss Story. I think mm-hmm. he masked that he was mad at the dance she had with Usher mm-hmm. more than the outfit. And mm-hmm. he just was trying to come from one point of view, but that definitely
insecure.
Oh no. Yes, same yeah,
that but one.
megalomania
yes mm-hmm. that
I think that word
was.
Fits perfect. It's more centered than yeah. narcissist. Narcissist kind of over here. Megalomania is like right in the middle. Because yeah. I think
would either one of you say a tad schizophrenic?
This is why I said borderline, like, different types of personalities.
It could be the same. I also looked up narcissism, and it says selfishness involving a sense of entitlement, a lack of empathy, and a need for admiration, which some of this, it really falls into line with what we term now as a narcissist. Someone who, they don't give a dag on what you think. They don't care about how you feel. They are really, like, really engrossed in themselves, and they don't have empathy at all. They can't see it from your perspective ever. They can never put themselves in the other person's shoes. They just can't do it.
Was the word envy included in that?
But it could
be. I think the word envy should be right in the middle of that also, because I feel like a lot of it, there's this envious of jealous. Wanting to be something that they are not.
It's jealousy. Sound like jealousy. Came out to play in your situation, Miss Lori, that, you know, he thought he was above you, or, you know, it sounds like some jealousy was in that. You know?
Yeah. And also in that Keke Palmer situation where he saw them, I guess you said you saw him dancing or whatever, and he, and so this level of control comes in. I don't want you to do that. So I'm going to say something else. I'm not going to go straight to the truth of the matter, meaning I feel, I'm feel less than, or I feel insecure about you. You know, maybe somebody's going to take you away from me. Like, tell the damn truth.
Right.
You know what, though? Like, low-key, I think Keke Palmer, no one come for me. I think Keke Palmer picks these kind of guys. I've seen a history of who she's picking, and it looks like she doesn't want them to stick around for a long time.
Is that bad, though?
That's what I was going to say, is that some people aren't, I don't feel like, y'all, I could be wrong. You could say whatever you want, but I don't necessarily feel like everybody has to be in anything long term.
No, they don't.
We don't own anybody anyway.
Well, I'm saying that to say, when you pick someone like that, there are certain things to expect.
I would say that you don't know what you don't know. Okay. And so you can have a type until you figure out what's happening. And so every time you're in a different situation and you start to see, oh, this, he had characteristics like this other person. Hopefully she'll get to a place where she realizes the common denominator is her. And if that's her, without shaming herself, she can ask herself, what am I needing and what am I seeking through other people that I can find in myself?
I 100% agree.
So that could be a thing. I'm not, you know, I'm just thinking that.
Yeah. I 100% agree, because I see myself in that, but with work.
Oh, okay.
How I kept teaching and where I kept teaching and the bosses that I would have and the leadership that I would have, it was all a pattern. Yes, I was the common denominator. Yes, I kept attracting that to myself because I kept thinking, well, this is the right thing, or this is what I needed, or this is, these people have it together, or whatever. But I was seeking mental abuse every time. Because I was surrounding myself with people who needed to be leaders, who desperately and delusionally believed in the concept of control, not understanding that that's an illusion. You don't control anything or anybody. But I kept gravitating towards that until it was too late, until I realized, like, that's not gonna work. This is dangerous. This is not good for my mental health. This is not good for my physical health.
You know? What did you do, though?
What you mean?
What did you do about it?
I clearly am no longer a teacher.
And that's,
I quit in the middle of a semester. That's how bad it was. That's how dangerous it was. But I had gotten to the point where I finally, all the curtains, all the fans blew, all the smoke in the mirrors away, and I could see, this is an abusive situation. Get out.
Wow. And that was your breaking point. That's a huge thing to see and know and discover and make a decision about. And a lot of people aren't ready for that, or they don't have that? You have that in you. But
Yes, you do.
Everybody has it in you, but it depends on how long does it take you to learn the lesson and how long, we ask this on our show all the time, how long does it take you to be deprogrammed? Mm-hmm. I have been conditionally programmed to believe this is what leadership looks like. This is the expectation. This is how I'm going to be abused. It was just an expectation that that was going to happen. So however long it took me to get into that, 13 years worth of teaching, multiple countries worth of teaching, multiple states worth of teaching, I still was coming back to the same scenario. But in all of that, what I need everybody to hear is that I was the common denominator. I was allowing, like Lori said, I was allowing people to treat me like that. I was allowing myself to be in harm's way.
Until she woke up.
Until I woke up.
Until she woke up.
This episode is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it's all about.
Yes. So as I'm listening to us talk, something just came to me. We didn't put the definition, we didn't put bully into the definition. And so narcissism itself or a narcissist or what the megalomaniac that you mentioned, all of that is bullying at a high level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when we speak about it from a larger scale, it's like leaders, the government, or the world is picking on you. It's like, what you gonna do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or boyfriends or whomever, like even with Kiki, what you gonna do about it? Sylvia, what you gonna do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we keep getting picked on, after a while we're gonna say enough is enough.
Yeah. You go to a low point because you realize, yes, you're the common denominator. Yes, you gotta do that crying, sliding down the wall thing for a little while for some people, but also to, I think, that getting that low helps you also understand, like, find the resources, find the people that can help you, find the people who aren't that. For me, a lot of it was I was able to not necessarily know what I wanted, but I knew what I didn't want.
That can
so it was
yeah.
I was definitely able to continue to make sure that it's like, don't do this, don't go in that situation, don't work for these kind of people, don't do this, don't do that. Did I still wind up in harm's way in a totally different situation? Yes. But I think because the environment was different, I did not think that the people could be the same.
And
those people exist everywhere.
Yes.
And there are some people who would disagree. I'm not one of them, but there are people who would disagree and say that you weren't the common denominator. A person might look at the situation and say, well, they did this wrong and they did that wrong. But what Miss Sylvia did by saying she was a common denominator is she was truthful with herself.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you're able to take all your power back.
Mm-hmm.
And that is super important. A lot of people in situations point fingers and say they were wrong and they were wrong and this, you know, this person did that. But when you turn that mirror around and say, I'm the common denominator, I'm making these decisions, then you can take your power back.
Yes, he
then
is.
Then you can say, I'm the reason.
Mm-hmm. You can own it. Yeah,
own it.
There is an exponential amount of power in accountability.
Absolutely.
Girl, you better say it. That's the truth. And you're so right. When you own it, you can really see it from a different perspective. You're no longer the victim. And that's what narcissism does. It creates a situation where you become the victim, or so you think in your mind, why are they doing this to me? Oh no. And until you realize, I see. Oh, I've allowed this. I've allowed you to do this to me. Oh, I'm important. Oh, I can choose. I can choose who and where and what. That's power.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah. So I commend you in that situation. Being a teacher is such a prestige, and being around the country, and I'm sure you were accoladed and award winning and I could just see it. And
I actually was not. I was abused and taken advantage of. And as the title says, I was overlooked. But in the undercurrent of that, there are multiple children that I taught that are now teachers who have directly said, I helped them do this. There are multiple teachers who are certified now because I helped them do that. So I didn't need the awards. So it would have been nice.
On a certain level, you were.
Yeah.
But not as with an actual trophy. But
no.
Through people and who you helped and giving them hope and change.
And that's what I work towards every day in my life anyway, is every day for me is a bonus in the first place. Every day since January of 2022 has been a bonus. So every day I wake up and say, don't do any harm. Because I feel like you can easily harm people by not giving them grace, not practicing patience, not being grateful yourself to be in that space or interacting with those people, and not understanding that you have a purpose and you better figure out what it is quickly and go down that path, not any other path. Because the moment you get off your path is when you get in your way or somebody else's.
And I think it's from chasing these external validations,
that part.
These accolades, these large-ass trophies that really, are you serious? It's the inner trophy. It's the intangibles that really mean the most. But again, that's my perspective. I ain't going to push it on anybody. But I think what people will find, if we stop chasing external validation, we will be free from so much.
I don't think that's just your opinion. I think that's the way a lot of people should live or think.
Yeah, but as Lori says, there are no shoulds.
There are no shoulds. There are no shoulds in this world.
There's no shoulds.
I can't make anybody think any kind of way, right? And that's another thing. People think how they think. I would love for folks to think like that, because if they chose, they would find peace. But we can't push peace.
And it's the same for me of like, it would have been nice had people validated what I was doing or saw that I was helping and saw that I was trying as hard as I could. But that's none of my business how they felt.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's still none of my business whether or not I'm still talked about in those spaces and places. It's still none of my business that people who really, really did damage to me, my mental health, are now in spaces and places utilizing the resources that I created. And not understanding that I know because people tell me. Because the people that you thought weren't on my side were still on my side. But yeah, and I can't do anything about that. I wish that there was like a poop flavor that would come to their mouth when they spoke my name, but
that's funny.
I wish that there was like invisible ink or something that like everything they tried to use that was mine would just erase and they wouldn't have any idea, but there's nothing you can do.
But karma is very real.
I mean, it's a thing.
It is very real.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
It don't play and it don't miss.
No.
They're getting poop flavored
in different ways. Yep.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. But I tell you what, they're having the day they deserve, and I am too.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I like that.
Yes.
That's huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I commend you, Miss Sylvia, and I think you're phenomenal. And I've had my issues with teachers and my son. So to hear someone come from the perspective that they did this to teach, they did this with their heart, means a lot to me. Because once the kids went into going to school on the computer, remote school, I actually got to see how they were treating him and how they were really acting.
It was a wake-up call for a lot of parents.
Yeah.
Because a lot of parents were like, I just put you on the bus and hope for the best. And I'm just trusting that this is all working out. I'm trusting that people have the resources that they need. I'm trusting that these schools have things in place. I'm trusting that the classroom is not overloaded.
Right.
you know, I don't think people knew what was going on because they didn't have to know. Because for as many years as teachers have been screaming into the void that we needed help, that we needed resources, that we needed funding, that we needed all these things, it just wasn't happening. So I was like excited when COVID happened. I really was. I don't have any children, but I was really like, okay, school is finally going to change. They're going to take time and they're going to fix schools and we are going to be better as a society because they're going to fix schools. And it didn't happen because everybody said, we have to go back to normal. These kids have to go back to school in person. I cannot deal. I cannot do. I don't want to. Just take them. And schools were like, we have to get back to normal because we're not making the revenue that we were making and we're not wasting the money that we were wasting. We have to get back to normal. So I think it has all backfired.
That part.
Mm-hmm. It's all backfired and the karma situation has come about and those people are having the day they deserve.
Yeah.
But kids are suffering and that's the hard part is that kids are suffering and our listeners know that I am anti- childbirth and being a parent, but our listeners also know that like I am 100% behind all children having a free and appropriate public education. So I find it difficult when they aren't because I know that it's possible and it's sad when it doesn't happen.
That was a breaking point for me. I took my son out of school and I've been homeschooling him for 4 years now.
A lot of people are.
What are you finding now that you did that for him? Like, what are you noticing?
First, he was in the seventh grade getting fourth grade work.
Yeah.
So,
are you serious? Oh, my God.
Yeah. A lot of people are finding this stuff out.
When I asked why, well, we want them to be comfortable. Then you don't want to challenge him. You don't want him to be better. I found that... he's like a sponge. He's intellectual. He's, you know, all these things are like opening up and talkative. And whereas before they were like, oh, he's so quiet and we don't know if he's gonna speak.
Yeah.
And now he's like, bah, 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 bah. You know, so it's like.
Yeah. Well, he's also spending more. He's spending more time with you too, and that is helpful too because the people who respect you and love you, as you spend more time with them, they are able to blossom. We shrink when we're around people who don't care about us.
Right.
Or we can see that they don't care. We feel it.
I commend you for taking control of that, of being an active parent and saying like, okay, I'm going to do what's right for my child and not necessarily fold into the system that isn't. Look.
But you know what? This all ties in because... You said something right there, Miss Story, that when someone who is in control or is leading you and doesn't care, you shrink.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely what happens with leaders that, you know, overuse their power or people who are narcissistic or, you know, the $1,000 word you keep using, I keep forgetting.
Megalomaniac,
yes.
Yeah.
But... that so ties in with that. They're making people shrink and water themselves down because, you know, I think even at some point you're scared to completely shine and be yourself because how they're going to react. You know, but as for me, I would have to say a huge chunk of my experience with megalomania and narcissism is in religion. And learning that religion is a spirit that I don't agree with. I believe in relationship and not religion. And so, yeah, I've had people with their fingers in my face. I've had spit flying. I've stood in the street where people are yelling at me in the street and the cars are coming. And, you know, you name it, it probably has happened. You know, and I'm not speaking from a bitter place or an unhealed place. I'm speaking from a space where... I realized that, again, like Miss Sylvia said, I was a common denominator. I had to realize what I was allowing and what I was putting up with. In religion or in the church, it's a lot harder because you're like, this is my leader, and you're putting them on such a platform and expecting so much from them that they don't even deserve. You know, a while back I had a podcast with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about leadership then as well, and she was saying that some people don't even deserve to be in the leadership.
Absolutely not.
They never should have even been there, and that's not what they were called to. They're in it for different reasons. And so, yeah, I've seen it all, but I've grown to learn that there is a spiritual narcissist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That absolutely
does actually exist. And I just want to speak to whoever's listening who's in that situation that it's okay to leave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's okay to leave and find what works for you. God has a place for you. And if you are feeling confused, then that's not it. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling hurt or bitter or down or battered or overlooked or underappreciated, that's not the place for you. And mm-hmm. that's what that looks like. So if you were wondering what that looks like, how that feels, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't yeah. feel right. And you have to show up for yourself.
That yes. part is huge. Yeah.
In that situation, no one else is going to show up for you. You are supposed to show up for yourself.
That is true.
There's no one coming on a horse.
The nail nope. that you hit for me was that you have that feeling. Mm-hmm. Like it hurts to do that thing still. Mm-hmm. Like I remember in churches that I've been in, and I remember in schools that I've been in, and work environments that I've been in, I always, when it came to like, okay, I got to get out of here, I would have this feeling of I was being strangled, or I was being held too tightly. That's what it always felt like. I was being like a boa constrictor was like around me, and I was being like held, just trapped. Squeezed. Yeah. And it was like, okay, I have to get out of here because I'm suffocating at this right. point. Right. So yeah, it is, it's a feeling. But Laura, you always say it too, of like your gut is your guide. You have to listen to what's in you because you know your body. You know
it'll
your
never lie to you.
Never, mm-mm. never. Mm-mm. If you're waking up and you're losing your keys when you're supposed to be going to the thing or going to work, or you can never find your badge, or you've put it somewhere different today because you just hid it from your, come on now.
Or if you if you're consistently late for yeah. work, like that is, those are signs of your body, your mm-hmm. mind saying, no,
yeah. Go slower. Don't move. Holding your feet.
Entrepreneurship. Mm. When you're always late for things, it's a huge sign that you're supposed to have your own business. Mm-hmm. Or be taking control in a certain area in your life. I learned okay. that because I used to do that.
That's so true because I'm not late anymore.
Because it's your own thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm definitely on time for myself.
You're on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But what was a breaking point for you, Miss Lori, where you said, I'm going to, not only am I going to leave, but I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, once I realized how this person was showing up in my life, like when I started to do things for me, I saw the jealousy, right? Mm-hmm. When I decided to open my own practice and how excited I was, I saw him, it's weird, but I saw he kind of shriveled a little.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I'm not getting that support. I'm very supportive, so I always support it. But when I saw that, that's really one of the things. I was like, okay, I'm not now being supported. Mm. Yeah, it was
so
an interesting thing.
Giving
not at all. Not at
what
all.
What was it for you, Miss Sylvia? Where you said I gotta, you know,
the abuse became more outward. It was more pronounced of like, we are abusing you. We are intentionally I'll give you an example. I taught in the Middle East for 2 years, 3 months, and 23 days. Not that I'm counting, but the administrator, they were trying to cook the books. Let's just put it like that. As most schools are trying to do. I said what I said.
What does that mean, cook the books?
test scores will be much higher than they're supposed to be. Attendance looks great. You know, 100, we had no retention issues.
So they were lying, basically.
And if we know Sylvia, Sylvia's not a liar. Mm. So I was not going with the scam. I just was not. At this point, I was like, I'm tired of being here in the first place. I had already asked to leave, and they told me no. I could not get out of my contract. I could not get out of my visa. I did not want to be there anymore. So this particular day, I was supposed to cook the books when it came to testing. And
they were telling you to do it.
Yeah. This child skipped the test. It wasn't a county, but like a county test, you know, like how you have like a school district test. And that was it to me. You didn't come. You intentionally didn't come. There's a zero. Bye. Yeah. And where I was teaching, those children were somebody's, in parentheses, child. They could be a dignitary's child. They could be a princess. They could be anything. So whoever this particular child was, she was someone's child that was important. And more important than my merits and my dignity and my ethics. And when I did not go along with cooking the books, I got a phone call from my assistant principal, who began to berate me in such a way, y'all, that I was speechless. And I am never speechless. And you're dumb and you're so unprofessional and why aren't you doing this and just do your effing job and all these things. Wow. And I said, okay, we are officially at the point. We're done. How many more days do we have? Okay, we're not coming back. We're leaving. Right. Does that mean that we're leaving this country or does that mean that we're just going to leave this job? But whatever we're doing, we are leaving. And I had witnesses to this, you know, I put the phone on speaker and people are like, what? Like that's, she's never talked to me like that. Well, I'm different apparently. And I saw that happen in multiple schools in multiple places. And like I said, I came to the realization that I either had a tattoo that was on my forehead that said kick me or something, but I taught all of these people to talk to me like that, to treat me like that. I taught them that I would accept it in some way, shape, or form until I didn't.
Wow. And what a blessed day it is that you're like, no F's given now.
I'm very, very different now than even when Lori first met me. I'm different. I'm different from our first episode. I don't have the space to not put Sylvia in the center anymore. And selfishness to me is not, it's not negative.
No.
Because you have to save yourself first. I mean, put your mask on first is the directions on the airplane. Right.
And I would love to replace the word selfish with the word self-care, right? Because that's really what it is. I care about me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to diminish myself. And if I choose to hang out with you, I'm going to give myself just as much love as I give you.
That's right.
Right.
There has to be a point where you're saying, you know, I love myself, I care about myself, but there has to be a point where you're saying, I'm not going to take these things anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy how people will say that you're selfish because of that.
Well, that's manipulation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's such bull, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's also a little bit of desperation. I think it's a desperate move on people. It's a desperate attempt when people call you selfish because you are taking care of yourself when they are not willing to do the same thing for themselves. And you're not responsible for that. You're just not. Like, that's not your responsibility.
It's like they're seeing you slip through their hands.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's
desperate. Yeah, the boa constrictor couldn't hold me anymore. Yeah.
Right. It's also a form of gaslighting, too.
Yes,
to have you think a way that they want you to think. It's all a manipulation, right? Tactic. But, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
mind control.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, it is what it is, but yeah. But yeah, for me, it was, the abuse was outward. It had been very quiet before then. It had been very, you know, like she said, just poking the bear, just poking. And I was like, I'd take a few more pokes. But then when it became like the brick to the forehead, that's when I was like, okay, we're done. We can't.
That's like that's the perfect point to transition into, you know, when should you leave? You know, I think a lot of people are, some people are years in, you
Me.
Know?
Me.
They're years in and they're just then saying, but I think it's two different things. I think, and I could be wrong, you can correct me, but I think for you, you were already out the door. I don't think it took years. You were like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you know?
I always was 1 foot in, 1 foot out because I never wanted to be a teacher in the first place.
Oh, okay.
It was a have to do, not a want to do. So yes, I was always 1 foot in, 1 foot out, but while I was there, I was still giving it my all.
Yeah.
I've never been a lackadaisical, I'm a half do type of person.
Yeah.
But to answer your question on when do you know when to leave, when you can. Because telling somebody like, girl, you should just go. You should just get out. And go where? And do what? You have nothing lined up. Right? So for me, like, when people are like, why didn't you just quit the job? I tried. I wanted to get out of that. But I clearly was 16 hours by plane away on somebody's visa who's paying me all this money that I was never going to get in America. So what was I going to do?
Right.
I could not just jump ship. I couldn't. I had to go through all the proper channels.
Sheesh. It's so important to be selfish.
Yeah.
In that situation, you know, being selfish, you would have said, okay, let me put some money away. Not you. I mean, in different people's situations. Let me be selfish and do this. Let me be selfish and make a cushion somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be selfish and say, you know, start setting this up and setting that up and making
connections. Or let me be selfish. Yeah, or let me be selfish and ask again, or ask someone else, or figure out what the proper channels are. Stop going to the same people that are abusing you. They have bosses, and their bosses have bosses. And these people have, there is a chain of command on purpose. If they aren't working, go above them. It's going to backfire. It might not. It's going to be hard. It might not. But you can't keep doing the same thing that you're doing, because obviously it's harming you. Like, literally harming you. So for me, it got to the point where my alternatives were to not be here anymore on this planet, or to keep taking it for as long as I kept taking it. I took the first option for a little while. I'm just very honest.
And that, let me stop real quick, Sylvia. And a lot of people listening will feel the same way, right? So I appreciate your transparency, because that's real.
Yeah.
I respect your honesty, absolutely.
I'm a multi-time thought process attempter. Because I did not have the tools that I have now. I did not seek help the way that I've sought help now. I did not have the amazing other person sitting here with us like I have now. I did not feel like the resources that I had access to were going to be enough, and they weren't. So I just kept taking it for a little while.
And so it's so important to, like you're saying, to reach outside of what's around you.
Yeah, let me tell you, you don't have it. You got a lot of stuff together. You have this job and this entrepreneurship, and you have, you know, all these things, and you own your own house, and you own your own car, and you have a master's degree in this thing, and you have a passport full of stamps and all these things. You still don't have it. Yes, I'm telling you to your face, you don't have it.
I 100% agree. You don't. You need to externally seek the help that you need.
Yep.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You
absolutely
need to do that. There's nothing wrong with seeking a psychiatrist. Nothing wrong with going and getting a mentor, even, you know, on whatever level you know, you need help on. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, going outside of yourself or outside of your comfort zone or who's around you and seeking that extra help that you need, you know, for your mental health.
Mm-hmm. And for those who...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, if you were going to say.
And I was going to say that a lot of people frown upon it in the African-American community, in the church especially. They frown upon someone going outside of the pastor or going outside of the prophet and just kind of dealing with whatever they're dealing with and then going to us. They say, well, go home and pray. And you can pray and God can show you you need help. He's showing mm-hmm. you that. He's showing you by the people that are around you. He's showing you by the people that keep showing up the way they're selfishly, narcissistically, the way they're showing up. He's showing you in your face to go get the help, to leave from where you are. So it's not a good thing to just keep yourself in that one space, like Miss Sylvia is saying, around those people. Reach outside externally, because a lot of times in religion, you're not going to get that other help.
No.
You are not. You can search all around the church. You can go to Sister Susie Q and Sister Booby Boo and whoever, and you're not going to get the help that you need, because they're all together and they're all, there's a lot of them are all the same anyway. So it's important to reach outside. And I'm not bashing the church. I'm not trying to come against anyone. Not all churches are the same. They're not all the same. They're not all equal. They should be, but they are not. And so it is important to go outside of that for you, because if you're not whole and you're not healthy and you're not happy, you're not serving your purpose anyway. You're mm-hmm. not serving full capacity in the church anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to really love on other people and serve God at full capacity, because mm-hmm. you're hurting now and you're bleeding now internally, and it's not being dealt with. And that's not to say that you're carnal because you're just looking at it from the outside and you're not being spiritual. No, you absolutely are being spiritual, because you've gone to God about it. You prayed to him about it, and now it's time to let him answer you.
That's huge.
Look for those answers.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you
that. And he's putting them right in front of your face.
Yeah, some of the things are very obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just for some people. Oh, go ahead, Lauren.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about, you know, I think when you mentioned when do you leave or when do you get out? And I'm going to say as soon as you can, right? Yeah. But at the same time, if you can't, strategize. Like, there's so many things you can do. Strategize on how you can leave. Mm-hmm. Or also look forward to the day that you can leave. Disassociate if you have to.
Okay.
Trying to manifest leaving.
Well, I was going to say quiet quit.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet quitting is not just at work. Like, you can quiet quit in your life. You can quiet quit with friends. You can quiet quit in your relationship. You can quiet quit however you have to. But just like you said, like, stop feeding into the thing. Stop giving that thing fuel. Just gently pull back just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until you find yourself not in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's literally what I did. I literally was like, I got how many days left? I started a countdown, y'all.
Yes.
Every day, it was back when Facebook was like super popular, and that was pretty much the only thing back then. Every day, my profile picture was the number. I would go, I would spend all my time trying to find a picture of that particular number. It could be anything, as long as it had that number. And I went every day.
That's a whole book, Miss Sylvia. Mm-hmm.
It really was for me.
It needs to be written.
But it gave me something to look forward to, like mm-hmm. you said. And it gave me a moment of pause every day of like, all right, we're going to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to be better.
Because you need hope.
I need hope.
You need hope and courage.
Yeah.
Little bits at a time to tell yourself, I can do this. I can be better mm-hmm. than this. Another day is, you know, is coming to where I don't have to suffer with this or mm-hmm. deal with this.
Yeah.
You have it power. Is. We have power.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful.
I didn't have this language because I didn't have Lori back then. It was just, you know, whatever I could do was whatever I could do, but I didn't have the language of I had power. I didn't have the language that I had choices. I was running a little bit off of spite, to be honest.
And I'm going to tell you, whatever you need to do mm-hmm. to get there, mm-hmm. because you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I was running off of spite at that point. I knew that there was no way to replace me. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was going to be suffering when I left. And I knew that they brought this on themselves. So I was like, I can't help you. I don't know what to tell you. Right. All you had to do was be nice to me and I would stay. I would still be there to this day, y'all. Mm. Let me tell you, I was not planning on ever coming back to America. Ever.
Wow.
Ever coming back. I would still be there to this day because I loved where I lived. Mm. I loved my neighborhood. My husband was happy. His job was amazing. Okay? Oh, man. His job was incredible. I never had the intention to set foot back on these lands and listen, to see my family, to visit whoever or whatever. All they had to do was be nice to me.
Look at that.
You see and how be nice to me meant, like, leave me alone. You know?
That's huge, Miss Sylvia. You really thought about yourself. You had a partner.
Yeah.
You had a whole career there. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I gotta put me first.
Where?
That's huge.
Yeah.
If it's one thing I have learned about myself, is if I get low enough, I'm not gonna do it. If I get annoyed enough, it could be anything. We've talked about this on our show. If I get annoyed enough with my hair, I will cut it. Mm. I just do not have the patience to be disturbed. I just don't have it in me.
And
if there is not peace.
Thank
it has
you.
To
I just,
go.
I was just going to say.
Surgically yeah. remove it.
That's why yeah. I just heard that with you just now. You were like, listen, mm-hmm. if it's going to disturb my peace, ciao.
Bye.
Listen, my cutoff game has gotten so strong.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
It has to be.
This don't feel right. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. But we're going to pay you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not even enough money.
No.
No, money's not my
okay.
source.
Let me tell you, there is not enough money. Pay me in time off. How about that?
Pay me
not to be in this building.
Right.
Pay me in vacation time. PTO, whatever you want to call it at this point. But pay me in not being in this space. Because nobody dreams of working. Nobody dreams of a job. That's not a thing. People dream of having the space and the capacity to be creative, to connect with other people, to do a thing. That would provide, yes, money, but it provides you the opportunity to do the things that you really want to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, of course not, I didn't want to be a teacher. Absolutely not. That was not, no way, mm-hmm. no way, shape, or form. But did it afford me the opportunity, yes, to see the entire world? Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for it. Was it hard? Yes. Will I put myself back in that position? In the right scenario? I still would have to think about it.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Wow. And let's transition. We're running out of time, but really quick, let's transition of what that looks like for us now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had these relationships. We've had these spiritual leaders. We've had these career choices that we were saying, okay, we have to show up for ourselves. We're not doing this anymore. We realized what the issue was. We've done something about it. Now we're in new spaces. How are we showing up in those new spaces, in a new church, in a new career or entrepreneurship or in a new relationship? How are we showing up in those spaces?
I'm going to say I show up grateful. I remember where I came from. Right. And I had a situation somewhat similar to Sylvia's, but not to the full degree. And that's when I was getting my license, like working toward getting my hours. And the pressure was real. And I had my own situation where I was making sure I had all my documents in a row. So when that day came, when they forced me out, everything was ready. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, it was a beautiful thing to be able to be free. And so now when I do what I do it with grace, right? I show up with love. And it's a total juxtaposition to what I was shown before, mm-hmm. right? And so relationship, work, religion, it doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Yeah.
We have to remember who we are and how we show up.
Right.
And so I show up with just really thankfulness. I get to do something every day that I love.
Yeah.
It's not a job. It's a calling. It's a
life choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love it. So.
That's beautiful. I love that. And what about you, Miss Sylvia?
I show up as me. Because I spent so much time trying not to be me.
That's
right.
So you almost made me cry, girl.
I show up in ways that I know will affect change in other people's lives and my own.
Yes, ma'am.
I show up with as much patience as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I show up with grace because I know how much I need it. And I also show up very grateful because, like I said, every day after January of 2022 is a bonus. And I know how closely and how possible it was for me to not be in this space, for me to not even be here. So every day I get to be me.
Mm.
And every day it's freeing and fun and focused. And it's becoming familiar.
Oh, I love that, man.
That is beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
That's absolutely beautiful. And I love that you get to show up as you, Miss Sylvia. Because the world needs a Miss Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Girl, you better know it.
They need somebody who is going to come from the heart, going to come real and raw, and let you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Because I'm going to tell you.
I wish I could unpack that another time. My goodness. Ooh, I see a book title in January 2022 as a title. And Jesus.
Hey, mm-hmm. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah. And if there wasn't a Miss Sylvia, there would be no Miss Lori. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
We have these stories, but if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even be here. And so, bless her for showing up for herself.
Yeah.
And bless you for all the guidance on this path. Because there are days when I'm like, still. I'm still a person. I'm still a person. But there's so much grace in dialing her phone number and saying, Lori. And Lori saying, I'm listening. Or, how can I help? Or, you know, just that encouragement and bless my very small circle.
Mm-hmm.
Bless the 5 people that Lori says that you become because they keep Sylvia's plates in the air through Sylvia.
Wow.
So
that's beautiful. Your story is a story that's uncharted. It's untapped. No one wants to go into it. They're scared to go into that teaching mm-hmm. place where they're talking about what really goes on
mm-hmm.
behind the classroom walls.
Yeah. It's a path that a lot of people need to see. But yes, there is terror in seeing what grades 5 through 12 look like. And I don't think that people realize how your life changes in that time span. It doesn't seem like a long time span, but the things that you have to get in place in 5th grade for a child versus the things that you need to get in place by 7th grade for a child versus the things that you need to definitely have in place by 10th grade for a child, they're all connected. Getting to 12th grade is great. That's wonderful. Awesome. You made it to 12th grade. But if you didn't put things in place in 5th grade, 7th grade, and 10th grade, you are doing damage to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And you are causing your own heartache down the line.
Mercy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that need to know that.
Yeah. Because today.
But it's only through experience. It's only because I've worked with 5th graders. I taught 6th grade. I taught 7th grade. I taught 8th grade. I taught 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and on into college. It's only by the way of walking that path that I can turn around and go, hey, this, this, and this.
Right.
Like, I'm waving to you, please. I'm trying to put up a billboard. Like, help yourself not have the heartache in 12th grade, in 11th grade. Like, help yourself.
And that's why she was pushed out. You get what I'm saying? These are powers and principalities at place.
Yeah.
People need to recognize anytime that someone's trying to do right, wrong is always lurking.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong is always lurking to push right out.
There's always warfare somewhere.
Yeah. And again, all you had to do was be nice to me.
But
you literally had to be nice that
But mean ain't gonna ever be nice.
Never. Never. If you are a brittle spirit, you are a brittle spirit. Mm-hmm. You're gonna say that. It's hard to put lotion on a brittle spirit.
There's some people that have a Pharaoh spirit.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Mm-hmm. He made him that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes it's the same.
Ooh, I don't agree. I know what the Bible says, but God doesn't make anything happen. People choose, and
no,
so
no,
they
no,
said
he made his heart that way. He didn't make him do the things he did.
No.
But he made
Pharaoh him. Chose to harden his heart.
To have a
God did not harden his heart. I'm just gonna let you know.
'Cause God is love.
Yes, and he's not going to push you. He stands at the door and knocks, right? He's not going to make you do anything. You get to choose, because if he hardened his heart, then he took his choice away, right? And so how does Pharaoh have, you know, doesn't have a choice? He chose to harden his heart every single time.
I don't agree.
I'm going to see this argument. Okay.
I don't agree because I've lived it.
Okay.
I've lived people's hearts hardened on purpose.
Okay. Before and you think God did that?
Yes. To teach me.
Okay.
You don't think that it was their choice to behave in this way?
I think the actions that they took were all a choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the choices were based upon their heart posture. Their heart posture became that way because of the things they went through.
Mm-hmm.
And God allowed those things they went through.
Mm-hmm.
So him allowing the things they went through allowed their heart posture to become the way it was so that I could learn of what not to do, who not to be around, who to get rid of.
But that's different than making it happen, right? Allowing is one thing. Making it happen, purposely making it happen, is totally two different things. So you get to choose what road you go down. You could be manipulated and molested and abused all your life, and you can become a molester, right? Or you can see what happened to you and choose to do differently. Your heart is not hardened, even though you went through all the things you went through. Pharaoh had
a... You could become a counselor. You could become a something that helps people that were in that same situation. That's what you're saying?
Yes, because circumstances hit us all.
Okay.
The rain falls on everybody. It's up to us to choose how we move from that space.
There are people's hearts that do get hardened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is you can make the choice to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make the choices you make after that. But at some point, your heart did get hardened. And you can make the choice for that to change. But it still happened, though.
I get it.
Right.
You can feel how you feel, but it's still not forced upon you, though. I know we'll probably I think it's semantics.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I know I hear that so much, and when I hear it, it's like, ooh, you know, I don't want to let that moment pass by without, you know, giving you the opportunity to maybe check in with that, look that up, because the world says people make me do things. Like, you made me mad, and you know, if you didn't do this, I wouldn't have done this. Nobody makes you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. We get to choose how we show up in this world.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't think that the text is saying he made him make the choices he made. It's just saying God hardened his heart. And then after that, Pharaoh had the choice to do what he was should have done, because as far as the story goes, he had his son killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what made his heart turn. But he had the choice to let God's people go. He had the choice to, you know,
several times before
because
that was just
he did a bunch of things.
Yeah,
he did a bunch of things that weren't even related. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah,
he was. I'm not a biblical scholar. I do not claim to be one. I don't know very many stories. I have my that would be a whole nother episode about
oh my goodness
we could have
and religion but no okay so this is a very interesting discussion between the two of you because I'm just sitting back going okay it was like a little mini tennis match thank you
yeah. I just think it's a programming from child up. Pharaoh knew who he was from a child. He was groomed for that role.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so he was a narcissist. you see what I'm saying?
Or a megalomaniac.
Yes. And so in that role, in that mindset, and you crystallize to that space, you think somebody's going to come in and it's going to take over. Moses, who the heck you think you are? Right. No. Then this happens. No. Then that happens. And when, because who are you to tell me anything? And so that's why I'm saying that's where the heart. I can imagine God came to him to be softer, or full of love. Every time we get the invitation to do a right thing, we still get to choose. And what a gracious God that we serve, that God doesn't make us do anything. We get to choose to love. We get to choose to hate. We can do whatever F we want to do. But there's a consequence to everything we do. And the consequence, Pharaoh didn't know, but his son was going to die every time Moses came to him. And finally, his son died. But at that point, he gave it up. You see what I'm saying? His heart was still hardened. He was full of evil. And that's a choice.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying in terms of, like, I can apply this to my story as well. Because I could have easily turned that school upside down. I could have turned that country upside down with the ways in which daily I was taught and talked to and treated. But I could have had a hardened heart. Yes. I think I had one for a little while because, like I said, I was running off of spite. But I kept feeling like it's not going to get me the things that I want or need if I respond in the same manner that they are responding to me. Mm-hmm. If I am as hardened as they are, I'm not better.
Right.
If I am as evil as they are, I'm not better. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel better. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So okay. I get both. I lean more towards Lori. not because we're partners in crime, but it's more in terms of I do feel like you have a choice. I do feel like you could be a bitter bee.
Yeah, I absolutely feel like he had a choice, but I feel like God did harden his heart. But he had a choice after it.
How? Well, tell me this. How did he harden it?
I feel like, okay, yes, he was groomed narcissistically, yes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like situationally, he hardened his heart at that time. Not permanently, but just for the moment. He did something to harden his heart. Mm-hmm. And that didn't give him any excuse for the way he acted. Those were all choices. But I think situationally, God made something happen. Because God said, okay, put blood on the doors and all the first sons are going to die. He allowed that to happen because Pharaoh wouldn't listen. So he allowed that to happen, that hardened his heart situationally. And then after that, Pharaoh had the decision to make the right choice. And he still, because of the way he was groomed, didn't make the right choice.
Is the terminology of hardening his heart, is there another way to describe that?
Yeah.
Instead of, here's where I'm getting stuck. Because again, like I said, not a biblical scholar. Don't know any of this. If God hardens your heart, is that not just you being stuck in a place or stuck in your ways, which would still be a choice that you're choosing to not to not move forward, to not give grace, to not practice patience, to not have mercy. Is that not still a choice? Like, I'm trying to work this out all at the same time. I feel like saying somebody's heart is hardened is just another way of saying
bitter.
That they're choosing to stay in this place. They're choosing to be a jerk. They're choosing to be a megalomaniac. They're choosing this delusion of I am the end all be all. I'm powerful. I can do whatever. When that's not your place. Mm-hmm. It's a choice that you're making.
I think it went specifically what it was saying was he something to piss him off
or test him.
Right.
When we think about God, if God is saying I'm God and I change not, he wants to save us all, right? Including Pharaoh. He wants Pharaoh to be saved, right? He wants him to have a change of heart. So if he wants him to have a change of heart, why would he harden his heart? You get what I'm saying? If we really think about this, he presented scenarios. He didn't harden it. He presented scenarios for him to choose. And in those choices, he hardened his heart. And he's like, let me do it again. Mm-hmm. Let me present this situation to see how you're going to show up. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do better? Mm-hmm. You're going to ease this time? You're going to let go this time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we're saying the same thing. Okay. I was going to say, I think you guys are coming to the same. There's all these paths back to the same source. Mm-hmm. Because the higher power is provide this space for you to interact with that you are either going to do right by or you are going to do wrong by, but it's still your choice. And I think there's like levels to or other people's discernment or beliefs of like, well, that's wrong, but it might not feel wrong to you in that space. Like Pharaoh thought he was right is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't think he was wrong. Everybody else is like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the higher power, they're like, yo, I'm just giving you this space to be a good leader and do right by people and have this kingdom on earth. And you out here acting a fool. Which was like, again, like it's drowning. Choices. Right. It's choices to me. So I guess, yeah. That was interesting.
And it's the karma.
Go ahead. Ooh, it is the karma.
Yeah, I feel like he hardened his heart, but it wasn't like he made him born that way. I think people take it that way. They think, well, he made him that way, as in he was born that way. Mm-hmm. No, it was situational. It was in that moment, he gave him something that said, okay, now make a choice. And he kept doing it. He sent locusts. He sent frogs. He sent disease. He sent all these things, and he was just like, nope, not budging. Okay, well, I'm gonna take what you really love then. Let's see how you make a choice now. And that's huge. That happens in life. You know, what you absolutely think that you love or you needed so much, it can be taken, and then there's a question, well, what are you gonna do now? How are you going to show up, and how are you gonna treat others? And still walk in who you were called to be.
Yeah.
I think that all ties in together. I think that Pharaoh really wraps it up. You know, how are you going to still show up even though someone is saying or doing something that you don't like?
How or doesn't feel good.
How are you still going to show up even though the person is narcissistic or they're Sylvia?
Megalomania.
Megalomaniac. How are you still going to show up for you and still show up with love, you know, and character and integrity? And how are you going to keep the hope alive inside of yourself?
Right.
You know? And I think that's really huge. And I could hug you right now, Miss Sylvia. I don't know if you're a hugger, but
I'm an energy person, so I'm not always a hugger, but yeah.
I am too. I am to definitely like to read the room and tell, you know, how a person is and how they feel. And yeah, but I think your story is huge, and it's like you never know who you're meeting. You can see someone and see a beautiful face and think, oh, they're doing a podcast and they're such lovely ladies. And then it's like, boom.
Right.
Ooh, you, she's a, you have to hear. This is a powerhouse. My goodness.
This is why we always say start at season one, not at season two.
Right, right.
Start at the beginning.
We have an origin. We have an origin story.
We have an origin story. And it goes like a roller coaster. Oh, my goodness. So, yes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So that's my fault for not doing my homework.
But, oh, that's all right. You have time, honey.
You have time. Binge us. Binge it. There. It's on YouTube. It's on everything. So,
yeah. I will definitely be doing that. And all those who are listening need to do that as well. Go back and dig into the crates of what's been better, so that you can see how beautiful these two lovely ladies are, what their stories and their backgrounds are. Because there's hope inside of these stories, and there's peace, and there's love, and there's the will to gain yourself back again. Like Miss Sylvia said, that she shows up as me. Mm-hmm. There's no better answer than that.
Girl, you telling me.
To just show up as me? Mm-hmm. I could hug you and then smack you for that.
Well, this is me. So, 100%.
Yeah, and I love it. I love it. And I thank you too for coming on tonight. It was more than I expected.
Awesome.
You exceeded what I thought the show was going to be.
Aww. Cool.
And it was great. And I think a lot of people are going to listen in and get some gems.
I hope so.
Yeah. Walk away changed.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point, you know, of
it
Boss
is.
Babes Healing.
Yeah.
Is to walk away healed and changed. And that's so huge. I thank you. And where can they, individually, where can they catch up with you guys and see you guys at?
Well, you can find me. Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Lori Life Therapy, at Lori Life Therapy. That's Lori Life, Life Therapy, Therapy.
And you are a therapist?
Yes. Yes, I'm a licensed.
She's my therapist.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a licensed
therapist.
I think that's
showing itself too. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, it gives people pause when we introduce ourselves to people. They're like, wait, she's your what? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And I am the Black Girl with Tools. Black, everybody can spell that. Girl with Tools, and that has an S at the end. Everywhere, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Tumblr. Everywhere. Hopefully Spill soon. Spill. That's what I'm working on. But yes, contact me. Get up with us. You can find the two of us together at What's Been Better Podcast. Again, on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube. Or at our website, whatsbeenbetter.com.
Amazing. Amazing. Again, I thank you for joining us. And until next time, peace and love, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yay.